Marcia, this is my wife, Marcia, 45 years. She's not 45. We've been married 45 years.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was 45. Nice to be 45. I just want to congratulate you on 6 years. This is really an accomplishment. We've started a church ourselves at one point. We know what it's like, and you know, it's a struggle at times and blessing at other times, and you know, you get it all. So congratulations. It's really wonderful to be back with you again. I know some people don't recognize me. My hair is longer, it's darker, but I have glasses too, and I didn't have, my eyes are failing, so it all changes. Same person. So God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I think one of the affinities that I have with this church and with your pastors, that we're both musicians and we love to worship the Lord, and that just kind of drew us together, I believe. I want to do a song or two for you here. Last night I taught you a song. It was called Breakout, and I just believe this is a time that your church is going to break out into new things. And this song just has come to me in the last week, and I just thought, man, I just kind of feel like this is for your church. So you have that song there, Karen? Yeah, great. And I don't think you can sing this sitting down. That's no fair. Okay.
Rise up, break out, God is on my side. I'm gonna lift up, shout it out, Jesus is alive. I'm gonna stand up, have faith, lift and clap my hands. I'm gonna sing it, believe it, Jesus rose.
Try that again. I'm gonna, from the beginning, okay?
I'm gonna rise up, break out, God is on my side. I'm gonna lift up, shout out, Jesus is alive. I'm gonna stand up, have faith, and clap my hands. I'm gonna sing it, believe it, Jesus rose again. 'Cause you're my strength and you're my song. You give me victory. And when I'm weak, Lord, you make me strong. Defeat my enemy. Again, you're my strength. You're my strength and you're my song. Give me victory. And when I'm weak, Lord, you make me strong. Defeat my enemies. Cause you're my strength. You're my song, Lord. You're my strength. And you're my song. And you give me victory. I'm gonna rise up, break out, God is on my side. I'm gonna lift up, shout it out. Jesus is alive.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, you may be seated. I want to do this song. I'm sorry, for some reason the words aren't on the PowerPoint, but remember when we didn't have words? And we just had to know the songs. This song is called A Waterfall of Love, and I just think it's so fitting for your Rivers Living Water Church. I was in the nation of Brazil. I go to Brazil a lot. When I got saved, I got saved in a black church, and the preacher's name was Brother Brazil. And I think there was something to that. He was in the black church. You know, they don't just preach their sermon, they sing their sermon. You know, like he was preaching, "For God so loved the world." And the organ players, you know. And I'm a little Episcopalian kid, you know. I mean, we didn't have white gloves and green robes in the choir, I was a hippie, and I was 21 years old. I was as lost as you get. And Brother Brazil's preaching, "For God so loved the world, now put your name in there. God so loved David. God so loved Don, and God so loved Cain. God so loved." And I said, "I've never heard that before, you know." So I put my name there, "God so loves me." And he makes this altar call. All these people come up, and the young people get saved. And I wanted to go, but I really, you know, I heard the gospel, but I didn't understand it. You know, the gospel is, it's more than just a mental understanding. It is that, but it's more than that. It's Jesus coming and revealing himself to us. Just rolling back the unbelief from our eyes. And I just couldn't go. I don't know why. I was just locked in sin and darkness, and the service was over. Everybody was leaving like you guys do. Hey, by the way, this is a full service church. You have breakfast here. This is awesome. It's better than McDonald's. Just come for the food. You get saved eventually. But, you know, anyway, they were all leaving, but Sister Brazil was at the piano, and she said, "Wait a minute. The Lord shows me there's a boy here that needs to get saved." Yes, amen. She got a witness down front. That's exactly the way it was. And she says, "You all get back in here and start praying. We're not leaving till he's saved." So everybody came back in. The whole place, and everybody started praying, and I was in the second row, just kind of down the left, and there was a lady next to me. Her name was Sister Millie, and she's a black lady, and she began to pray, and they were praying, "Lord, save that boy," and she was going, "Lord, save that boy, just save that boy." I saw tears fall on her black hands. "Lord, save that boy." I thought, man, I don't know who that boy is. And I have no idea what get saved means, but I better pray for him too. So I started praying for that boy. "Lord, save that boy. Whoever he is, whatever that means, he needs it." And then, as only God can do, the Holy Spirit says, "Son, it's you." And the next thing I knew, I was down at the altar, crying. I literally could feel the sin going out of my life and the love coming in. It was just like this. And Jesus just coming in. And in the end, it's all about Jesus. You know, your IQ may be 10, but God has given you enough to realize it's all about Jesus, just Jesus. You may be a genius, but that genius was given to you to know the Lord. Whatever your place in life is, we can all know him. He's not beyond anybody. And so I received Jesus as my Savior that day, and it was a happy day. It was a happy day. Happy day. Jesus washed. Jesus washed. Yes, my Lord washed. You washed my sin away. That's my testimony, Brother Brazil. Well, on one of my trips to Brazil, the Lord, I was with, at this worship conference, and I went to my friend's house. He's a wonderful worship leader. His name is Asaph. Can you imagine that? His mother named him Asaph, which was David's worship leader. And he is now, he's like called the father of worship in Brazil. He's just an amazing guy. And we're doing this worship conference. Went to his house afterwards, and I just sat down at the piano, and this melody just started coming out. Jesus, your waterfall of love, falling on the desert of my heart, rivers of encouragement and life, flowing from the Spirit of the Lord. I will sing a new song, my Savior and my God. Waterfall, pour on me, Jesus, the waterfall of love. Jesus, you're a river of joy. You're breaking through the darkness of this world. Rivers of encouragement and life, pouring from the presence of my God. Song, my Savior and my God. Waterfall, pour on me, Jesus, you're a waterfall of love. Jesus, there's new waters flowing here. New waters shall flow in this place. Living waters of love and living waters.
waters of grace shall flow from this day forward. For this is a Sabbath year. This is a year of rest. This is a year of my love. This is a year that you will be blessed, says the Lord. Living water. This town is in my eye. I will bless. I have determined to give you a spiritual rest. This is a year of jubilee and blessing for thee, says the Lord. A year of my water for.
Amen. Hey, one more. Psalm 92, day and night. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the rest of God. Not the rest of him like there's something left out, but the rest that he has for us, okay? God is still complete. He's not divided. But this song, and you can help me sing it. It's called Day and Night. And there's a little part in here. It goes, like this. La 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 day and night. La 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 day and night. Try it. La 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 day and night. La 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 day and night. Now this song, I'm gonna be speaking on it, so I might as well just say a little bit of what I'm going to say. It says, in the beginning of the psalm, it says, a song for the Sabbath day. It's the only psalm in all the 150 psalms that says that. It says, this is a song you're supposed to sing on the Sabbath day. And the Jews sing it at very special times of the year. They sang it in the morning when they offered the sacrificial lambs, the tamid. Every morning they were to offer a lamb on the altars in Jerusalem, and every night, day and night, they were to worship the Lord. And this psalm was sung by the early church. They loved to sing it on the Sabbath day and when they came together and sing, and it went like this. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To sing praises to your name most high. To show for your loving kindness in the morn, your faithfulness every night. Try that with me. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To sing praises to your name most high. To tell of your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night. Upon the stringed instruments playing skillfully, upon guitars with beautiful sounds, a sweet melody. Upon the stringed instruments playing skillfully, upon guitars with beautiful sounds, a sweet melody. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to your name most high, to
tell of your loving kindness in the morning, your faithfulness every night. And now we go to the chorus, Karen. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. Day and night, oh, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. Day and night, yes, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Now, la, 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 ready? La, 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 la. La 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 la, day and night. La 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 la, day and night. Hey, you've got it. The Quitman Pentecostal Choir, ready to go on tour. Now listen to this promise. Those who are in the house of God, planted by His grace, shall grow up and flourish there in God's most holy place. And in old age, when others fade, still much fruit they'll bring. They will be strong and full of faith, and they will be flourishing. Good and upright is the Lord. He is a rock for me. He is true and righteous, just and holy. Good and faithful is the Lord. He is a rock for me. He is true and righteous, just and holy. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to your name most high, to show forth your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every night. Day and night, day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. Day and night, yes, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Maybe we could stand and sing that part there. Day and night, okay? Here we go. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. La 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 la. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to God. Day and night, night and day, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Yes. Good things. It's a good thing, isn't it? Really good thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, I'll probably be back to the piano a little bit there. I do want to just share with you, I brought some product here for you all. And one of the things I do, I travel, I minister. And David, thank you for saying about partnering together, because there are some churches I visit, but I feel like I'm a part here because of you and the way you've received me. And
I'm going to share a little bit of some of my travels and what I've done, but I do have a word from Psalm 92 this morning. But I do want to share with you, we brought some CDs and books. I have some piano CDs. This is called Concerto of Praise, and just beautiful music that I've written. I feel under the inspiration of the Lord, and actually published it, if any of you like to do piano music. And then this is Wait on the Lord. It's my newest album. It's contemporary psalms, really very nicely orchestrated, and I sing on that. I know that'll be a blessing to you. It's called Wait on the Lord, Integrity Music. Did that for me. And then this is, I talked last night about Ruth, the play Ruth. Well, this is a DVD and the CD of the whole musical, 16 songs. And guess who plays Boaz? Marcus Witt. Yeah, he sings 6 songs on here. He's Boaz. It's really cool. It's one of the only time he sang in English. If you know Marcos, very famous Spanish singer, but a friend of ours. And that's where we were playing at Marcos's concert and ministering in Mexico when we were together. Anyway, it's orchestrated by the guy who did The Lion King on Broadway, and he just, David Metzger, he just recently did Frozen. He's really a good orchestrator, so you'll like that. This is my newest product. It's called The History of Worship, and this is the 8 DVD set, and it has 24 lessons, 12 in the Old Testament and 12 in the New Testament, a history of worship throughout the entire Bible. And actually, it's online now on mikeheron.org, my site. You can take it. It's $10 cheaper. This is $39, but you can take the whole course there for $29. Online and print all the notes you want from it. But it has a little booklet with it, and it's really good for classes, good for personal study. I'm very excited about that. Nice picture of King David on there. Actually, Dave was the model for that, if you'll notice your pastor. I do have a... this book I wrote is called Writing Tsunamis. It's about my life. I know you're all just waiting to read it. But it... tells it's pretty amazing how God has led me all my life. And I called it Riding Tsunamis because when I was a young man, I loved surfing. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon, where you folks are going. And my greatest joy was riding surfing waves, and especially when they got really big in the winter. That was a lot of fun. And I felt like all my life, God has privileged me to be a part of his great tsunamis of his Spirit. And, you know, it's just a time when God moves by his Spirit, and I've just had the privilege of being there. And then this book, if you do anything, if you can, this is called The Heart of the Psalmist. It's a chapter on every single psalm in the Bible. And this took me 7 years to write. I had a time where I was not doing a lot of public ministry, and the Lord just said, I want you to write. So day and night, I wrote on this and studied on this and wrote this commentary on the Psalms. It's not about just worship. It's about Jesus. It's about the Psalm. But it does have a lot in there to encourage you. And I know that'll be a great blessing. As I mentioned last night, everything has a money-back guarantee. You don't like it, Pastor Dave will give you your money back. No, okay. I do want to just share with you a little bit of my travels and what I do. I was saved at 21. I became went to Bible college in Portland, Oregon, Portland Bible College. I was a worship leader for 9 years on staff. And then in 1983, the Lord called us to plant a church. We planted a church. For 12 years, we pastored the church. It's still going great. I'm still an elder in the church from 83 to 95. We went into a building similar, probably it was worse. It was an old warehouse, and it had been abandoned, I think, for about 5 years, and it was just filthy. And we remodeled this into a church, and the church is doing great today. The Lord led us to buy another property. After 8 years, we bought a school and renovated that. And I'm an elder in the church there, and our joy is to go there every year, at least once a year, and minister for our former church. Of course, we're partners with them. And in 1995, the Ministers Fellowship I was a part of, it's called Ministers Fellowship International, they asked me to be the international director and travel. So my wife and I, for 7 years, we traveled. We went to 40 nations during that time, and we helped establish this Ministers Fellowship in almost every continent. And so we had a lot of experience traveling. And then 2002, that, you know, God has seasons in our lives. That ended for us. And we moved to Texas, and we worked with Marcos Witt in a Spanish ministry called Canción, which is the Spanish word for song. Marcos is a great singer, and for a number of years, I worked with Marcos, and I learned Spanish, and it was just a joy. I traveled a lot to Latin America, almost every Latin American country in that ministry and time, with worship conferences and music, selling music, Spanish music, not mine, but the Canción music. And then in just 5 years ago, well, actually, we went to Mobile, Alabama for 4 years and worked with Integrity Music. And then I came back 4 years ago, or almost 5 years ago, to Houston. Integrity Music sold, moved to Colorado, and we felt, no, the Lord wants us to go to the nations. So that's what we're doing in My Care Ministries. We're a faith ministry. We raise funds. This last year, some of the places that I've been to, one of them, unusual place was Nepal. And there's a family of churches there, and actually a ministerial association in Nepal that God has opened the door for us to go to, and holding pastors' conferences for the ministers in Nepal. Nepal is a Buddhist country and a Hindu country, but very strong. You know, it doesn't have a Christian background at all. They invited us to come, and there's orphanages there that we raise money and support for them. And so it's those kinds of things that the previous year we went to, probably the most exotic place I was ever at was in Bhutan. It's right next to Nepal. Nepal's right above India. Six of the highest mountains of the world are in Nepal. Mount Everest is there. And it was so beautiful where I was staying. I'd get up every morning, and I'd get up especially really early to watch the golden sunlight hit the six highest mountains of the world, including Mount Everest, every morning. I want to tell you, I think Mount Everest was God's, I think that was his grand finale of creation. It just, you see those mountains, and you go, ooh, big God. I mean, it just really is. And what makes them dramatic is that the Indian plain is flat. It's not like there's foothill mountains that build up to these. Like Colorado's that way. It builds up. But the Indian plain just comes right up to the Himalayas, and then they jump up 30,000 feet, 29,000. It's just so dramatic. I mean, you're just standing at the bottom. You're looking up. It's really cool. Great. God's led us to Bhutan, which is a Buddhist country. You can't live there unless you're a Buddhist. You can't even move there if you wanted to. And we went to, there was a hidden, we had hidden meetings, secret meetings with some of the Christians who have been getting saved. It was really fun. I felt like I was in a novel or something, or I mean, a Christian book about having these secret meetings with the Christians and worshiping with the Bhutanese people. So God is moving in every nation. And now I want to tell you about something that the Lord very especially has done with my life over a period of years. Just take a minute. And it has to do with ministry of the Catholic charismatics around the world. Now, I know this might stretch some of your thinking, so don't shut me off yet, okay? Can everybody say, I will not close the door yet. We'll hang you at the end of the service, okay? But here's what happened to me. It was never my design. When I started the church, I told you about, it was in 1984 or 83. The end of that year, a friend of mine called me. He says, Mike, his name was Joe Tassini, this friend, Joe, Italian-American pastor. And he said, I was just in Italy, and I met a man named Giovanni, has a Protestant church. And I told him that we were going to come over and do a worship conference. So can you go with me to Italy in a few months? I said, Joe, I just started this church. I can't leave the church. You know, you don't leave your church like that. Because, you know, I was everything. I was the janitor. I was the worship leader. You know, you're everything when you're starting off. And I said, no, I just can't go. And he said, well, look, you pray about it. And 1 hour, I'll call you. Whatever the Lord says, that's what we'll do. I said, okay. So for 55 minutes, I remember I was preparing a sermon. And 5 minutes to go, I go, I know Joe's going to call me. So I better pray so I don't have to tell a Christian lie. Yeah, I prayed. So I got down on my knees. And I said, Lord, you don't want me to go to Italy. Now, don't ever answer your own prayers, right? I was answering my own prayers, bad thing. So here I was praying, and I says, you don't want me to go to Italy. And all of a sudden, this just started coming into my spirit, Acts 27, Acts 27, Acts 27. You don't want me to go to Acts 27. So I turned to Acts 27, and verse 1 says, and when it was decided we should go to Italy, immediately we set sail. It was the story. Immediately. Remember the story of Paul going in the ship. So I guess we're going to Italy. And so the phone rings just right then. And Joe says, well, did God speak to you? I says, Joe, have you ever seen this verse? He says, well, I guess we're going to Italy. So we go to Italy. It was a very small, humble little conference in this Protestant church. Very cold. I remember very poor situation. There was actually water dripping through the ceiling at one point. And in the back of about 40 people at this conference, there was a young man sitting back there. And every time I'd see him, now I have a prophetic gift. That's what the Lord has given to me. Every time I'd see him, I'd have this vision of him standing in the Vatican, leading worship, singing songs with a big choir, huge choir, and a huge orchestra. And I just go, it's like the Acts 27, Acts 20. When the Lord's giving you something, and it keeps coming back. And it comes from the outside, and it's usually not something you'd normally think of. I wouldn't think of that. And I turn around and see this guy, and I think, that's crazy. It turns out he's the only Catholic in this whole place. I didn't know this. So at the end, we called him up, laid hands on him, prophesied over him that the Lord was going to use him to touch the Catholic Church, to touch. I mean, it's just like, well, this is either right or it's wrong. You know. Well, it turns out it was right. This young man, his name was Matteo Calisi. He began to lead worship. He was either going to be a priest or pursue his music career. And this word really spoke to him. He got married, pursued his music career, became a doctor in music, led worship in the charismatic movement in Italy, many, many people being filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that messes with your theology. And read Acts chapter 10 and 11. It messed with the Jews, too. What are you doing over there, Peter, at the Catholics? Well, I just went there and I started talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit fell on them. And who was I to stop God? And wisely, the apostle said, well, that settles it. God's called them to eternal life too, you know, to those who believe. And so anyway, Matteo just began his ministry, began to grow in stature. And yes, he did. Four times he led worship in the Vatican. Wow. With these giant choirs. And guess what? He became friends with Integrity Music, Mike Coleman, and he sang Ron Canoli albums in Italian. Like, lift him up, his name be lifted higher, levantate, you know, in Italian. And there's videos of him. It's amazing. All these priests and cardinals are all lifting their hands and praising the Lord. And so he became very good friends with John Paul II, very close friends. John Paul II gave him a commission. And he wrote this out. I've seen it. It's a document that he has. It's really amazing. It says, Matteo Calisi, to receive Matteo Calisi in all the dioceses of the Roman Catholic Church worldwide, and he's commissioned to do 4 things. To re-evangelize the church. How many say that's a good commission? To teach on the Holy Spirit, bring the Holy Spirit. To teach the church how to worship. And to bring unity and reconciliation with the rest of the body of Christ. I'd say that's a good thing. He goes and go in anywhere. He's known now all over the world. And Mateo was my friend. So was Giovanni, this other brother, that the church that we went to. They became friends. One of the places they went to about 14 years ago was Argentina. The Cardinal of Argentina, Jorge Bergoglio, invited them to come. He said, we need these four things in Argentina. Our church in Argentina, the Catholic Church, needs to be re-evangelized, needs the Holy Spirit. It needs worship, and it needs unity with the other Christians, believers. And so they became friends with Cardinal Bergoglio, who is now Francis. They became very close friends. I mean, like, really close friends. The first thing Francis did when he was elected, he called Giovanni. He says, Giovanni, I want you and Matteo to come to the Vatican. And they came to the Vatican, and he told all his guards, everybody to leave, just the three of them, and he said, I need you as my prayer friends. He says, there's great people here, but there's a lot of corruption, and I need prayer people. So he gave them a speed dial number. They're on speed dial with the Pope. I mean, just like, boop. They talk all the time. I was just with Mateo 2 weeks ago in New York. I says, now, how many times have you been there now since he's been the Pope? He says, we've been together about 15 times for prayer, Giovanni, Mateo, and I. And so here's what happened last summer in July. And this is really an amazing thing. I get a call from Giovanni. Now, I've been friends with these guys, Giovanni and Mateo, not knowing what was going to happen. But Giovanni calls me and he says, Mike, I just got a call from Pope Francis and he wants to come to my church in Italy. Okay, you got to understand this. A pope has never, ever visited a Pentecostal church. In the history of the papacy, no pope has ever done this. He says, the pope wants to come and he wants to apologize to the Pentecostals for the way the church has treated them, the Catholic Church has treated the Pentecostals in Italy and in Europe. And it was really bad the last century. He said, would you like to come? And I said, yeah. So Marcia and I, we scraped together our stuff. We thought, this would be really great. So we go there, and here's what happens. Giovanni said, could you come next year, Pope Francis, because my church is under construction. It just had pillars and a roof, concrete floor, and a small, probably an auditorium a little bigger than this downstairs. And, you know, they just didn't have a place to have the Pope. I mean, you know. And no, he says, no, I must be there now. God has put on my heart. I need to come and ask forgiveness now. And he says, I don't care. He says, you're my friend. Whatever condition you are in, I want to be with you. So he comes, he says, well, should we invite the priests and invite the bishops and all in the area of Caserta, Italy? He says, no, I don't want any Catholics there. I just want Protestants. Just your church and your friends. So he calls us and we go. There's about 400 of us. The meeting was supposed to start at 10. It was 11 o'clock. And they said, well, where's the Pope? You know, and my friend Joe Tassini, the guy that originally got me there, he's there with me. He goes, hey, I just got a call from Giovanni's wife, Franca. The Pope's up having coffee with Giovanni in his apartment. That's very Argentinian, you know. Very Italian. Yeah, it's only 11 o'clock. The church service started. Don't worry, we'll be there. So he gets in the car with Giovanni, not in his papal pope mobile. And this is driving the guards crazy because, you know, he's like the president of the United States. Wherever you go, everything has to be prepared. And people, so he's driving across the town. Giovanni's driving the Pope. And people are walking down the street and they're going, here comes Giovanni with the Pope, you know. And all these sirens following. So he comes to the service. He walks in. Now, Giovanni and him are just like really great friends. They come walking in arm in arm. That doesn't happen ever. He walks in, and we begin to have this worship service. And we sing a song, a Spanish song that I knew helped produce the song. Juan Salinas wrote the song. You know Juan. Juan just spoke there this morning in Giovanni's church, just this morning. And Pope starts singing this song. Mi deseo eres tú. And he lifts his hands and he starts worshiping. I took a picture of him. I sent it to Juan Salinas, my friend who wrote the song. It says, the Pope is singing your song in Italian and worshiping with us. Then he gives this message, a beautiful message about following Jesus, that that's the most important thing that any person could ever do. How many would say that's good advice? And he said, as I followed Jesus, it led me, my path led me to this place and this morning. And he said, Joseph's brothers went down to Egypt thinking they would find bread, but I came here and I found my brother Giovanni and all of you. And then he went on, he said, I want you to forgive the Catholic Church. I'm asking you to forgive us for our sin of persecuting the Pentecostals. Now, you got to understand, never has a pope said, forgive us for our sin. And I'm telling you, the cameras are rolling, and this is all over Italy, all over Europe. It went all over the Catholic world. And the only picture that they had of Giovanni on file was a picture where I was standing next to him. So I went all over the world. But it was really funny. So after the meeting, we went downstairs and we had a lunch, and there was about 40 of us invited. No Catholics were there except Matteo. He's the only Catholic. And we spent 2 hours with the Pope, and we were able to ask him questions. There were questions prepared. It was really a beautiful time. And they said, what joys and what sorrows have you encountered along your pathway to unity with other Christians? And he says, well, now, don't be offended at this. Wait till the end of what I say. He said, the greatest sorrow has been the fundamentalists, because they just want to go into their little walls and throw words of hatred. He says, I like to sit down and dialogue like we were talking today. And then he said something very important. He said, you don't have to give up your identity to dialogue. I'm not asking you to be Catholics. You're not asking me to be a Protestant. But if we love Jesus, we can dialogue. And he says, when people just retreat and they just want to throw words of hatred without talking, without trying to understand each other, I thought, that's good advice. It wasn't that he said, I hate the fundamentals of Christianity. He said, I hate the attitude. That's a very difficult thing when somebody just, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm just going to hurl words of hatred. That becomes an impossible situation. He said, the greatest joy I found has been you Pentecostals. He said, when I first met you in Argentina, I thought you were all samba Christians. That's like, you know, the music is you dance and sing. I thought that was crazy, but he said, then I realized we need what you have. The immediate presence of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus in your church. And I found out something later that was not associated with this meeting. When I worked in Canzion, the director of the schools, his name was Esteban Vasquez. We had these worship schools. He was from Buenos Aires, and I worked with this man when I worked in Canzion. And I was telling him about this. He lives in Houston. He says, oh, my family knows Pope Francis. I said, you do? And he says, yes. My father-in-law is very good friends with him. I said, well, how do you know him? He said, oh, we attended the Baptist church in Buenos Aires all the years I was growing up, and Karina, my wife. And he said, every Sunday night, Cardinal Bergoglio would come to the Baptist church and sit in the back. And my father-in-law actually had a seat waiting for him and a bottle of water and everything for him. And every Sunday night, the present Pope, I said, really? How many years? He says, about 20 years. Every Sunday night, he would come and listen. And as you hear him, he sounds more like a Baptist preacher when he's talking. He says, you must have a personal encounter with Jesus. It's really, I said, where did he get that? Got it from that Baptist church. So what's happened with me is that God has given us a, it's not the only thing I do, but it's a unique door. I've been with Mateo. I was just with Mateo in northern New York, and we met with a bishop. We're meeting with later this year with the Cardinal Dolan of New York to have services together between with Catholic and Protestants. Mostly, it's Holy Spirit people. The Holy Spirit brings unity. That's what the Holy Spirit was poured out to do. It was to break down the walls. Because it says in Ephesians 2, we all have access by one Spirit. That's how we have access to Christ, Jews and Gentiles. God broke down that wall. I believe God can break down. Now, I'm not talking about organizationally. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about believers in this church and believers in that church. We are going to be together in heaven if they're truly believers. And when people love Jesus, they're in on my book. Anyway, that's one of the things the Lord has called us to. And in May, I'm going to Phoenix. We're having a meeting there with about 6,000 people, Catholics and Protestants, bishops, leaders of the church, maybe more. And we're just going to have, you know, we can worship together. We can pray together. We can read the word together. I think doctrine comes later. Like one of the things Francis said at that lunch, he said, if we wait until we all have all our doctrine together, the parousia would have happened or the second coming would have come. You know, so we got to start now and love each other. So that's one of the things that the Lord has me doing as I'm giving you a little report you asked me to give, and I hope that blesses you. And if it agitates you, just pray about it. So God will probably put you on a Catholic street in heaven. Amen. Okay, just for a few minutes. You leave. When do you leave here?
We're going to cut cake at around 11:45.
That's it. Okay. Let me just read you from Psalm 92 for a moment. Here's the word I want to leave with this church. You know, if you've gone through 6 years. This is now your seventh year. So after you're 6 years old, you start living in your seventh year. Your seventh year is your Sabbath rest. Now, I just want to leave you just a couple thoughts here. It says in Psalm 92, this is a psalm to be sung on the Sabbath day, and it's the song I sang to you. How do you keep the Sabbath today? In the Jewish time, you did no servile work, and even today now it's so distorted that the Jewish people, bless their heart, if they're really ultra-Orthodox, they won't do anything. In fact, if you go to New York and some of these cities where there's big populations, they have what they call Jewish elevators. Do you know what that is? They can't even press an elevator button on the Sabbath. So the elevator stops at every floor. And what if you live on the 78th floor of a New York? It'd take you about an hour and a half to get there. But Gentiles, you know, we can get in there and press any button we want. I don't know that that's what God was after in the Bible. I think it was something deeper. Jesus, it's no longer in a day, it's in a person.
Yes.
The Sabbath is in Christ. He said in Matthew 11:29, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That means just anxiety laden. Come to me, all you anxiety laden people. He's talking to the right crowd. We all are there. And I will give you Sabbath. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly of heart, and you shall find Sabbath. It's the word, Sabbath, for your souls. So Sabbath is not in a day or not pressing buttons on an elevator. Sabbath is in the person of Christ. And when we work, God has to rest. But when we rest, God works. When we work, and what I mean by that, when we are filled with anxiety about spiritual things and about, is God going to provide? Am I good enough to be accepted by the Lord? When we're in an anxiety state, God asks, okay, he has to tell the angels, look, we have to wait till they're done. Because they're down there working. Because remember the penalty in the Old Testament for breaking the Sabbath? It wasn't like pay some shekels of silver in the... It was, if you break the Sabbath, I'll kill you. What could keep men from working a day? Just, okay, you go to work today, I kill you. Okay, because if men could work and buy their way to do another day of work, they would do it. That's just the way we're wired. So we're in the natural, we're supposed to rest. How much more in the spiritual? So how do we do that? How do we enter? Because the Hebrews tell us labor to enter into that rest. Wait a minute, Mike, you're talking about rest. What about labor? Labor to enter into the rest of God. What is the labor that we do to enter the rest of God? It's told us right here in this psalm. This psalm is a way of keeping the Sabbath. And here's how we do it. It's good to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It's good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. There is the lamb offered in the morning, the lamb at night, accompanied by the 10-stringed harp and the melody of the lyre and the Yamaha keyboard and the Gretsch drums, the Fender bass. You thrill me, Lord, for all you've done for me. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. God wants us to rest in the atmosphere of worship and in the atmosphere of proclamation. It's not only just coming to a worship service. God didn't say, oh, come, let us listen to worship music. He said, oh, come, let us sing, let us shout. This is how you enter in. It's a little bit of a labor sometimes because you don't feel that way. You go, oh, I'd rather just focus on how depressed I am, because it feels good to focus on how depressed. It does feel, self-pity feels good for a while, but it gets worse. So get your eyes off yourself and get them on the Lord. And that's how we enter the Sabbath rest that God has for us. Now, I believe this year, your church, it said in the Old Testament, just let the land rest for a year. You know, this year, I believe you're to focus on worshiping the Lord and prayer and just declaring his goodness. That's how we rest. The Lord is my strength. The Lord will heal me. The Lord will provide for me. God is my hope. As we declare these things, the Lord is going to work. When we rest, the Lord works. When we're filled with anxiety and works, the Lord has to just back off and wait till we're done and go, okay, when are you going to give that to me so I can work? And the 10th verses of this psalm, I believe this is so for your church. It says, you, and when we do this, it says, you have anointed me with fresh oil. There's a fresh anointing. You got to be re-anointed and re-anointed and re-anointed. When we Sabbath rest, I will sing unto you, Lord. I will give thanks unto your name. I'm anointed with fresh oil. And it says in the psalm, even those who are older, anybody here over 30? I don't see too many over 30, but when we do that, it says that we are going to be filled with fruit. One of the translations says that they'll be full of sap. It's a great picture, you know, the tree just dead and all of a sudden the sap comes back. So God wants to sap you today. He wants to sap you on the Sabbath rest. So this year, Pastor Dave, I haven't seen nights where you just worship the Lord, given to worship and prayer. Labor, you have to labor to enter that rest. You know, it takes a little work. Oh, I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to say thank you, Lord. But as you do, you enter into the rest of God. You enter into what Christ has done for you. I believe it's done, Lord. I believe you died for my sins. I believe my sicknesses are healed. I believe you've provided everything I need. Is in the person of Christ, not the day or the performance that you give to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. So let's stand together. What a wonderful church you have. Come on, what a wonderful church you have. Amen. You really do. You know, I think God rates churches way differently than man. I think he rates it on the love. I think he rates it on the authenticity of the leaders. I think he rates it on your passion for the word, your love for each other. And I just see a report card with really high marks. Remember those when I was a kid, the NIs, needs improvement. How many had a lot of? I had a lot of those. NI. Social relationships, NI. Talking in class, NI. Mind wandering, NI. But I just see high marks for you guys, okay? And I just want to pray for you. Father, I thank you for the church in Quitman here. I thank you for living water. May it be a waterfall of love for this city, for Texas, for the nations. For all the relationships you've given them, may this be a waterfall of love and blessing. Thank you for being a partner with this great work that you're doing, Lord. Could we just all, if you could, just lift your hand. We're going to labor a little bit. Lift your hand. And say, just say this prayer after me. Lord, I enter your rest. I give you thanks. I thank you for the love you've shown me. I praise you, Lord. I believe all your promises, my God. I believe your work is finished. And that you're going to complete your work in me. You have begun a good work in me. It will be completed at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. We bless you, Father. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Dave.
Well, we're going to have to give Mike a chance to come back and give him a little bit more opportunity to share.